If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 10 through 17. I think that Paul's desire, as well as my desire for Pennsville Baptist Church, is that we have a revival. One of the things that was happening within the church at Corinth is that you didn't know whether the world was just a little bit churchy or the church was just a little bit worldly, but the world had crept in to the church of Jesus Christ. One of the things that we see within our own hearts and within our own lives is that it's awfully easy to let the world in. When it comes to a boat or to a ship, it isn't so much how much water is around the boat, but how much water gets in the boat. And there's an awful lot of, and when the water gets in the boat, it begins to sink. The water was rapidly flowing into the church at Corinth. The church started out in a very good place. They had good teaching. They had good teachers. They had the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and God had granted them these gifts. They were growing and developing. And then something began to happen within this church. I have many memorable moments in my ministry. Some are more memorable than others. But one stands out to me is that I was teaching on the Holy Spirit on a Wednesday night in a prayer meeting service. And you know what it is, it's the love, joy, peace, long suffering and all this, and I'm just about to make a point. And someone speaks up. Herb speaks up and he says, "Now, what if you've done all that you can do, but the other person just won't comply?" Whoa. Spirit kind of left at that time. You have to realize that Herb is past 65 and he should know better, but he speaks up. Then Herb speaks again. He says, he goes over to Bill. He gets up out of his seat. And he says, "Bill," he says, "you know exactly what I'm talking about." He said, "We've had problems ever since we were a kid." He said, "You know what the answer, what the problem is?" He says, "I've always been more of a man than you are." Whoa. Well, little 5'6" Bill, I mean, he was a former military man. He stands up. Well, my son Brad, he's about in the 8th grade at that time, he said, "Dad, I thought for sure he's going to hit him." It's one of those times that you're thinking, how do you bring it under control? What happens? It also reminds me of a church that one of my favorite pastors, Howard Sugden, he took over a church as a South Lansing Baptist church. And within the church, they had a history of 27 splits before he ever arrived. It would seem as though that would be one of those rare occasions, but it seems to be the problem within the church of Corinth, is that there was division that had come into the church. It's awfully easy to do within any church or within any body of people, and that's division. And what you find in this passage of Scripture is division is never of God. Whether it's at the Church of Corinth or Pennsville Baptist Church, division is never of God. Because what happened is that there was a division between brothers and sisters in Christ. The primary application is to the church. But let me tell you, it affects the homes and families also. Did you ever notice one of the best kept secrets that you have within families is division? I mean, I'm talking about husband and wife, just not flat getting along. And so whatever is within the church can also be applied to our... And what am I talking about? I'm talking about people that know Christ as their Savior. I'm not talking about people that are lost. I'm talking about Christians. Because as we begin to give the wrong impression within here, by this you all may know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So my question is this. Is there a division between you and another brother or sister in Christ? And if so, division is not of God. Notice the reminder of this division in verse 10. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you are perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Notice the reminder. The first of all, he says, and he says it not only in verse 1 or verse 10, but he's also going to remind them again. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're part of the same. We are a part of the same family. You see, it's through our relationship to Jesus Christ. How do I become a part of God's family? But as many as received him, he gives the ability to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name. So now we have a common father. Now we have a common relationship. We have a lot of things in common. Remember when God called you. Remember when he saved you. Remember when he brought you into his family. And if you look around, this is what makes brothers and sisters in Christ. That God not only loved us, but he also died for us. And he's coming again. And we have all these things in common. And he begins to toss these things out and reminds them that we are blessed. He says, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 10 times in 10 verses, he brings out the Lord Jesus Christ. He brings out Jesus Christ. And whenever we're in the midst of problems or divisions, we've got to get back to Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ in the home. It's Jesus Christ in my life. It's Jesus Christ. And that's what it's about. He says the name. The name has to do with the character. And we, meaning those of us who know Jesus Christ, should exemplify the character of Jesus Christ, whether it's in the church or whether it's within our home. We need to put Jesus Christ in his proper place. And then he gives this emphasis. He's ours. It's a personal possessive. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to get back to the place that he is Lord. L-O-R-D. Jesus Christ. So often within our, within our differences and divisions, it's about us. It's about us. And we fail to realize that he's Lord. And then the Jesus Christos, the Jesus is Jesus. He's the one that died for me. And as you look around at people that know Jesus Christ, he's not even my Lord, but he's also my Savior. Christos is the Messiah, and he's coming back. Wow, we need to get back to some of the basics within our homes, within our families, within our lives, and within the church. Because let me tell you, we are blessed, but also we're bound. He says that there be no division, because he says they need to speak the same thing, they have the same mind, and they have the same judgment. I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. It may have been at Corinth, but this sure isn't what it is at Pennsville. It's, do you think that everybody's just sort of a cookie cutter? Poomp, 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 poomp. And God's trying to create a bunch of cookie cutters, and everybody believes the same thing, and the same has the same feelings and comes to the same conclusions about everything. You can't even do it within your family. How in the world do you do that within a church? But notice his emphasis is this. His emphasis is that we're a part of a body. We are a part of a body. And within this body, there has to be a unity in order for the body to function properly. And so often, the arm says, I don't have any need of you. The feet says, I have no need of you. The hands say, I have no need of you. Wait a minute. We're needed. And what happens within the body of Christ, it's much like a quilt. And that is that you have my mom, she loves to make quilts. And there were just hundreds of pieces, a lot of different colors. But when they sewn together, individually, it's just like a multitude of hodgepodge. But as it begins to bring it together, then you begin to see how this whole thing fits together. And it becomes a quilt that keeps you warm. A quilt that we are many colors with many gifts and many opinions and many. But for the cause of Christ, we say this is the direction we're going to go. This is what we're going to do. And God, in his wisdom, begins to bring people from all different places, from all different sizes and all different shapes, fitting us together for what? For our Lord Jesus Christ. It's his name. It's his character. And it's awfully easy. He desires that all these parts function correctly. Also notice this. Is there a division between you and another brother or sister in Christ? He's not talking about division between you and someone who is lost or who does not know Jesus Christ. Because someone who's lost doesn't even look at it from a spiritual standpoint. He wants you to begin to look to have your life in order to have a revival. He wants me to begin to look at my life from his point of view. It's not just about me. It's about him and what he wants. And so what he does, he begins to work. Also, notice the reality of this division, verse 11 and 12. First of all, we have to admit that there is a division. There is something between you and someone else. There is something. Notice what happens in verse 11. For it has been declared unto me, and of you, my brethren, by them who are of the house, they had a house church of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. You have divisions, plural, in verse 10, contentions, plural, in verse 11. It means that there's more than one. Now, this I say unto you, that everyone says, I'm of Paul. And another one says, well, I'm of Apollos. Another one says, I'm of Cephas or Peter. Another one says, well, I'm of Christ. The divisions or contentions. First of all, admit that there is a problem. Because according to the house of Chloe, there are divisions and contentions in the church. One of the things that you're going to have to admit to begin with is that there is something between you and someone else. It's a reality. And you can cover it up, you can gloss it over, but it's not going to change. And so what happens, it's the same way too, like I said, for application, it's within your home and family. Do you realize that I'm okay, you're okay, everything's wonderful? Do you realize that things may not be wonderful? It's reported unto me that you're just not getting along. Everybody else knows you're not getting along, but you're not getting along. And so what we have to do to begin with is to face the reality that there's a problem between me and someone else. Notice it's a common problem. I say this to every one of you. Whoa. You mean it can happen to anyone? Yeah. It can happen every place but Pennsville, but there are all these other churches out here that have a stinking bunch of problems. And they have a bunch of troublemakers. And so, but it's wonderful for everybody that comes to Pennsville because everything is wonderful. And no one ever has a disagreement with anybody else. So that's really good. For those of you that have a problem, well, you probably have a problem. He says, I'm talking to every one of you. It only takes one cross word. It only takes one misunderstanding. It only takes one incident. And everything that was wonderful is no longer wonderful. He says, I'm talking to every one of you. I'm talking to the church at Pennsville. I'm talking to the people in Pennsville. Yeah, you know, Jesus Christ is your Savior. You're on your way to heaven. But hey, let's get real. There's something standing between you. There are contentions. There are divisions, which means that there's more than one. And it can happen to anybody, at any time, at any place in time. The only thing you have to do in a church is just to make a decision. That's all you have to do. And no matter what decision you make, somebody's not going to like it. I'm serious. Okay, we won't have church any longer at 6 o'clock. We'll have it at 7 o'clock. What? Oh, guess what? When I came, we had it at 7 o'clock and returned it to 6 o'clock. Well, what's such a big deal about 6 and 7? Nothing. But boy, it makes a difference. Oh, and by the way, John, those songs this morning were just so slow, I just about went to sleep halfway through them. I was thinking, what's happening? I was expecting a little bit of Haiti there to come out somewhere. Oh, someone is not going to. Now I rest my case. Because that's it. Or it's like, well, I don't like the banjo. I don't care if you don't like the banjo. That's what was playing at that given time. But guess what? There's somebody in this auditorium that would not like the banjo. Somebody that wasn't from West Virginia. But no, what happens is that no matter what decision is made in the church, there's always going to be a difference of opinion over whatever it is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And so what happens is that Satan takes those things that don't really matter and he begins to work on you. And the only thing you can see is what he says, I'm talking to every one of you who name the name of Jesus Christ. How can you name the name of Jesus Christ and not get along? I don't know, but being human is a stinking thing, I'll tell you. This thing of being human is something else. You have a background. Everybody comes into the church. Do you realize of all the different backgrounds that's represented here this morning in about 500 people? how they were raised, where they were raised, what they were raised by, and then they come to know Jesus Christ. Everybody has a history. But what happens is because of this, it's a potential to have difference. And so it's a common problem, but there's a common peril. Because here's what happens. Whenever you have an opinion, you have to get somebody else that agrees with you. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Peter. I'm of, well, the really spiritual ones, I'm of Christ. I love that one. I'm of Christ. That trumps all the other three, believe me. But what you do is that you become, it begins to divide among people. And then you have a party system. And somebody has to agree. The next thing you know, you have this faction and that faction. Oh, like I said, it can happen in the home and family. Oh, you got to get a hold of mom. Got to get a hold of dad. Got to get a hold of neighbors. Got to get a hold of somebody and tell them my problem. Why? Because you need somebody to agree with you, whatever your point of view is. And so now what we've had, the common peril is that I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. Because, see, it's not about the man or the opinion. They're all good men. Paul's good. Apollos is good. He was an orator. Peter, he was a leader. He was a director. And then you have Jesus Christ. But the problem is that we're dividing over personalities. You're dividing. And in this case, it had something probably to do with baptism, because that's what he talks about next. But every church split invites people to pick sides and to choose sides and to choose philosophies. And so often it's around personalities. So often it's around the board of deacons or the pastor or the pastors. And so we have to pick sides and pick someone that's right and somebody that's wrong. Watch when this happens, because it's awfully easy. Because you're never going to have a revival as long as you're self-centered and selfish. The division between you and another brother or sister in Christ is never of God. Notice the remedy for this division when you come to verse 13 to 17. He says, now, is Christ divided? And what I like here, he takes his own name and puts it within the sentence. Was Paul crucified for you? Oh, you mean there's something more important than whether or not the music is slow or fast? Oh. He says, and were you baptized in the name of Paul? He says, no. Now here, he does not downplay baptism, but he tells me that baptism is not a part of the gospel. Notice what he says. He says, I baptized none of you. Well, Crispus and Gaius. And he says, lest any of you should say that I was baptized in my own name, I baptized also the house of Stephanus. That's it? Because I know not whether I baptized any other. You mean he could not? It was, baptism must have been so important, but the only thing that Paul could think of is four people, a household, and two other people is the only thing he baptized. He's not saying that baptism isn't important, but what he is saying, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Do you notice the difference? There's a difference between baptism and preaching the gospel, and baptism isn't a part of the gospel. He says, I'm here to preach the gospel. There are some churches and some individuals that are taken to the place that the baptism, you're not going to be saved unless you're baptized. Well, if baptism is so important, of which it is, it's an outward expression of what Christ has done on the inside, but I am not saved by baptism. It's the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, notice what they were about. These people here, they had something much more important than the color of the carpet or the color of the pews. By the way, since they've been here 26 years, I hope you've gotten used to the color of the pews. But if we change the color of the carpet, guess what? Not everybody's going to agree. But there's something more important. They're talking about baptism. I mean, this is important stuff. And to them, it was really important. So now what happens is as I begin to notice the remedy, we need to get back to Jesus Christ and why we're here. Do you want to stop a division within your home and a family or a church? You need to get back to Jesus Christ and why we're here. Because let me tell you, you are going to have different opinions, and you're going to have different preferences, and you're going to have different things. Notice the three questions, and all of them expect a negative answer. First of all, is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? Like I said, what's he talking about? He's talking about the body of Christ. Is Christ divided within? Well, the answer is no. That's why he's going to go on and tell us that some are hands and some are feet and some are eyes, and we're all part of the body. And can the eye say to the, I don't have any need of you? Well, wait a minute. Let me tell you, it's just the opposite. We're all needed within this thing of the body of Christ. We all have an important part to play. That's one of the things I was talking to Brian this morning about when he goes to go to Haiti. And one of the things that God's laying on his heart is to utilize the gifts that God has given to you. We need to be involved with what God has given to us. And we are as different as far as abilities and likes and dislikes as we are people. Take a look around you and take a look at the people. We are as different on the inside as we are on the outside. We are as different. And so within the body of Christ, the question, is Christ divided? No. Is his purpose? No. No. His priorities are the same. You see, division, by the way, is not a representation or a representative of Jesus Christ. What do you think the world out there thinks whenever they see churches divide, whenever they see people divide, whenever they see Christians putting down other Christians within the workplace or so? By this you all may know that you're my disciples if you love one another. He doesn't mean that we don't have opinions, and he doesn't mean that we don't have different ways of looking at things. But for the cause of Christ, let me tell you, there's something more important that's going on than my will, my way, my rights, and so I give up those. Now, what he's going to do, though, is Christ divided? Second question, was Paul crucified for you? See, it's not about Paul, it's not about Peter, it's not about Apollos. Who died for you? Who died for you? The person that you're uniting with, did they die for you? The person that you're standing behind, did they die for you? Notice what he does. He gets us back, takes us back to the cross. Let me tell you one of the things that's going to happen as far as a remedy within division. Get back to the cross of Jesus Christ. He brings up the cross. Now, you have slow music and the cross. You have different colors of carpet and the cross. You have times of service and the cross. Come on. There's nothing that trumps the cross of Jesus Christ. I don't care what your opinion is. I don't care how you feel. We need to get back to the Jesus Christ. He died. He was buried and he rose again. And we need to get back. Was he crucified for you? The person or thing that you're... Can you get back to the cross? Boy. In your home, get back to the cross of Jesus Christ. You have a husband and wife that are just not on the same page. You get back to the cross. You have a church that's not on the same page. You get back to the cross. Get back to Jesus Christ. Get back to what's going on with on the cross and what happened. And he died for us. And then he says, so let's never go any further than that. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? And the answer is no. He says, now, were you baptized in the name of Paul? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? No, you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. See, it's by what authority? Oh, by the way, who is Paul anyway? Now, you're trying to divide among people. Who is Pastor Bixel anyway? Who is Pastor Murray anyway? Who is Pastor Tulls anyway? Come on. Why are we doing this thing? The authority we stand behind is Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are baptized. Baptism was a big issue. And that was the issue. We need to get back to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We need to get back to the authority of the Word of God. We need to allow Jesus Christ to have his proper place. So get back to Jesus Christ. Second thing is get back to the basics. Because he says in verse 17. Well, he says, and I baptized. I thank God in verse 14 to say, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I was baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. And besides that, I don't know whether I baptized anybody else. Isn't it amazing that he couldn't think of anybody else? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. We need to get back to the basics. Did you ever notice that we so often, whenever there's division, we just major on minors? We major on the minors? What's really important? Do you know what a minor looks like? And so often we major on minors. Within your home and family, let me tell you why you have a problem and division. You're majoring on minor things, and these minor things then become major. What's a minor thing that becomes major in a home? As to whether the husband puts down the lid on the toilet or not. Oh, no! He threw his dirty socks in the corner once again. Oh, no! And guess what? She can't cook worth a nickel. Now, that is major. Uh-oh, I just stepped in. Thank you, Anthony. I needed that uh-oh. See, Anthony gives you either an uh-oh or an amen. And when it's an uh-oh, it means that Pastor Murray just took one step too far. But it's so true. Within our homes and families, we major on minor stuff. We major on stuff that really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you like a banjo or not. Oh, it doesn't? I wonder what it sounds like to Jesus Christ. He does? Thank you, Anthony. I needed that. Because I'd lost the other 97.3%. He loves it. What does this thing sound like to Jesus Christ? The thing that, and so often we grab a hold of a minor, we can't let it go. And that minor becomes a major. It's that way in your home, it's that way in your family, it's that way in your life, it's that way in the Church of Jesus Christ. What really matters? We need to get back to the place where we understand what a minor even looks like. And then Paul was glad that he'd only baptized a few. He says, I don't know if I've even baptized anybody else. You mean he could only think of a family and two other people? Whoa. And what was the church doing? They're probably dividing over baptism. Now, it's a strange thing that churches have divided over baptism before as to whether we sprinkle or whether we pour or whether we baptize one time backwards. Or if you went to Grace Seminary, of which I did, they baptized three times forward. I said, well, when are you baptized? It's when you go into the water. Oh. I don't care if you go backwards, forwards, sideways. I don't care. But one of my favorite teachers was a Presbyterian. Let me tell you what he thought. He thought you sprinkled. And I thought, man, top of my head's wet. He says, that's all that matters anyway. But I think that, you mean, baptism. Churches have divided over baptism. Oh, and the other thing that the Grace Brethren Church did, when it came time for communion, they would also have foot washing. And some people's feet stink, some people's don't. But you'd find out very quickly as to who did and who didn't. But you're going to divide over this. Churches will divide over this. Now, wait a minute. Paul says, wait a minute. Baptism isn't what it's all about. It's not how. Baptism is not the most important thing. What we need to realize is that whatever is causing the division, realize that it's not worth it. There's something bigger going on. Get back to the place, not only that you don't major in the minors, but the majors is what really matters. What really does matter. Notice here's the major stuff that matters. Within a church, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of no effect. You see, that's one of the things I appreciated about Billy Graham. Because I have been among pastors that didn't think a thing about him. They would not back Billy Graham whatsoever. But one of the things I appreciated about Billy Graham, clear up to the end, he preached the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yeah, but they united with a bunch of National Council and World Council of Churches. Well, maybe they have lost people in them too. I don't know. But that's his business. His job was to preach the gospel. How many churches have divided over someone even like Billy Graham as far as whether they're even going to a crusade or not? What do I remember about Billy Graham? At the age of 12, I went to a Billy Graham crusade and I rejected the gospel. We had all these people going forward, and there wasn't anything within me that was going forward. And we had a whole bunch of people baptized, and they asked me if I wanted to be baptized. I didn't want to be baptized. Fact is, at that time, I didn't want hardly anything to do with anything called Christianity. One of the things I do appreciate is I knew that when I went to Billy Graham crusade, I was going to hear that God loves you, Christ died for you, he was buried, third day he rose again, and you need to receive him as Savior and Lord by a personal invitation. Won't you come? And he made the altar call popular. Won't you come? So often within our, what is the major within your home, your family, the church? It's the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. By what authority? It's by the Word of God. And you do not want to get very far from the book, because this is the authority that we have. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus says, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. That's the basics. That's the basics. All the other stuff is peripheral. And it's so often even those things can get to the place. See, Satan wants to get us back to the place that we get away from why we are here. Why are you here on planet Earth? I'm here to get to know God. And then I'm to be a blessing to somebody else. And guess what? Let me tell you the greatest thing that ever happened to me. The greatest thing that ever happened to me was coming to know Jesus Christ. And you know the greatest thing I can do? Tell somebody else. Let's not get too far from the basic stuff. Because you get away from the basic stuff and you're going to there once again begin to major in a minor. So often there once again. Is it? I was had an interesting day yesterday. Yesterday was one of those days that I didn't know how it was going to turn out, because with Upward, it was the last day of Upward, and we were supposed to have a makeup game. So I asked John Kurtz. I said, "Okay, John," I said, "I'm going to be there on that day." I said, "What do you want?" He says, "Give him the gospel." He said, "Every time, at every halftime. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and when you like to receive him. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and when you like to receive him." And truthfully, whenever I come with the Upward plan, what they do is they give you a little sheet. It's just about one page, and you'd go through that one page, and they have an object lesson, and then you have a little three-fourths object lesson and about one-fourth message at the end. And so I said, "Boy, this gets really boring after about eight times." So I said, "Okay, Kathy," and I told Kathy, "I don't want to know what it is, because you saw the picture up there to begin with of me on a ladder." So I said, what I want you to do is you just bring out the prop and give it to me, and we'll go from there. You bring out a prop." And so the first thing, she brought out a couple of these wooden horses these broomsticks with a sock on the end. And she had a duct tape wrapped around it, and she gave me two of them, and these were the horses. So now I'm supposed to come up with an object lesson. Next thing, she comes in, they said it was a three wood. I don't know how you can be a three wood when you're metal, but it was a three wood, and it was metal, and it was a golf club. I have no idea what to do with a golf club, but I'd better make, what? You'd better get back to the gospel. You better get back to the gospel. You better get back to the gospel. So it didn't matter what object was given. I had to get back to the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, with the ladder, I'm up there on the top, and I said, in order to get a different perspective, you have to go up a little bit higher. Otherwise, you're stuck down here. Let's begin to look at this thing from God's point of view. If God looks at your life this morning, what does He see? If you were to die, Billy Graham, the question was, are you on your way to heaven? If you died right now, are you sure that you'd spend eternity in heaven? It's either yes, no, or I don't know. You see, let's get back to some of the basics. Why? Because if you know Jesus Christ, you don't divide over the basics. The greatest thing that ever happened to you is to come to know Jesus Christ. The greatest thing that happens to me is when I'm sitting there and I listen to somebody that gives a message clear and plain that you need to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord by a personal invitation, there's something that takes me clear back to the time that I came to know Christ. That's the basics. Let's get back to the basics. And then once you get back to the basics, then everything, that becomes your platform. That becomes the platform. And from that platform, man, God can do great things. So you're sitting there and you're majoring on a minor. You say, oh my goodness, I wish Pastor Murray would hurry up and get done. Well, you're with that at 97.3% that wishes he'd hurry up and get done. I do too. But that's one of those things. It gets to place, it doesn't matter. When I went to Russia, they wanted me to preach for like ever. On one Sunday morning, we had four different preachers. The whole thing lasted nearly 2 hours. What they want? Because the curtain had been shut. The gospel had been hidden. The Bible was not in the hands of the people. Now the wall was down. Let me tell you what people wanted. They wanted the word. And they wanted it, and they wanted it, and they wanted it. They didn't have any trouble with division because guess what? Up until the wall came down, if that same church was persecuted for Jesus Christ. It's amazing whenever you have persecution, it kind of brings people together. But you get back to the basics. Get back to the word. Get back to the gospel. And by the way, if you want to know what happened to Pennsville Baptist Church, why in the world did I preach on division? Because that's what came next in Corinthians. If you want to know what's going to come next in Corinthians, just read the next passage and that'll be next week. But let me tell you what. I found this. There's something or someone or someones in Pennsville Baptist Church that's having a difficulty with a thing called division, and you're majoring on minors instead of majoring on the majors. And we need to get back to the place. Why? Because God has a way of taking His word and using it for His honor and glory. And so like Paul said, he says, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Let's just keep it simple. Let's just keep it simple. And so often within our lives, here's the sad thing within the churches in America. They are moving away from the cross, they are moving away from the crucifixion, and they are moving away from the gospel. And if you move away from the gospel, you have nothing more than a religious organization. You've got to stay in the word, you've got to get back to the word, and we as believers have to spread the word. God loves you, Christ died for you, and we need to receive Him as Savior and Lord by a personal invitation. My question then, as we come to the end of a challenge, first of all, is there something between you and someone else within the Church of Jesus Christ? Isn't it interesting? It comes right up. Let's take a look at the last slide. We'll see what I said. I don't even know. That's good. Is there division? Stop majoring in personalities and minor stuff. Next. Get back to Jesus Christ and get back to why you are here. Let nothing deter you from the purpose to which God called you. And let this thing go. Get back to the basics. Get back to the Word. Get back to Jesus Christ. If God is dealing with you, an altar is just a place where a man or a woman meets God. As we sing the song, Surrender. Say, okay, God, I hear what you're saying. What do? Make it right. Make it right. Let the thing go and make it right. There may be someone here this morning who says, Pastor, I don't even know this Jesus Christ. You don't have to worry about division. You're already stopped because you don't know Jesus Christ. Let's get back to the gospel. Do you know Him? If you died right now, are you sure that you'd spend eternity in heaven? If the answer is no or I don't know, slip out of your seat and I'll meet you here at the front and I'll be glad to share with you from the Word of God how you can know Jesus Christ. But whatever you do, don't leave. Don't leave if God is dealing with you. Okay, let's go back another step. Why do I even open up the altar? The message is going forth. God has spoken to you. And what you're saying is, I'm willing to adjust my life to do what God wants me to do. When am I going to start? Right now. Right now. Why do I invite people to Jesus Christ? Because I don't see any place in the Scripture of where He ever did it privately. He says, come. Come to me. In some place, He says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. These people are for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I'd be glad to share with you how you can know Him. So if God is dealing with you, now's a great time. Let's all stand. Jesus, that you speak to hearts. Division is never of you. And so often we have within families, within churches, within personalities. I would ask you, Lord Jesus, that we could get to the place that we major on the majors and forget the minors. The minor stuff doesn't matter 50 years from now. The majors do. Allow us, Lord Jesus, to be able to embrace those people that don't see it as we do, that don't understand as we do, want to do it differently than we do. But may we never move away from the authority of the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ was crucified for us. And Jesus Christ did die for us. And it's Jesus Christ that makes a difference in homes and lives and families. Allow us, Lord Jesus, to get back to the gospel and never move from Jesus.